think about this Christmas season. At some point in time, it may end up being a scripture reading, but according to my records, it didn't look like Jonathan's going to preach on it, so we should be safe and not to get it more than once, unless the Lord has in mind there's a lot for us to learn from it, just thinking about these things. But before we do jump into the Word, let's pray once again. Just ask God to bless this time we have together. God, we thank you for your Word. And Lord, as again, we just think about this Christmas story, the season we think about and rejoice in our Savior's birth. Lord, that as we think about Him, about His humility, Lord, humbled to the point of death, even death on a cross. And Lord, a blessing to us and such good news of great joy. And Lord, as we look at it even just again tonight, might our faith be strengthened, our hearts be filled with rejoicing. And Lord, we would just bless this time that we spend in your word and just again thinking about this message of the gospel and how precious and good and wonderful it is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we are going to look at the impact of the gospel, and in some ways, I did ask even today at lunch, what's your favorite Christmas characters? And I said, you can't say Jesus, because that's who it all would say as you look at it. But looking at the Christmas stories and thinking about the people, I remember even as a kid, the shepherds were always significant to me. Just even the fact that maybe, just even thinking, well, I'm a farmer. I know something about these shepherds. I know nothing about sheep, but I know something about watching and taking care of animals for hours and hours, and sometimes the thankless task that can be, and the labor and effort that goes along with it, and even thinking about these shepherds day after day after day doing the same thing. I could only imagine in my mind, after 1 hour of sitting and watching my flock by night, I just cannot wait for the sun to not just be sitting there, but maybe having more to do, and just how that might have been just even for them. But as we look at this passage, we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. We'll just read it first, just to get the whole, well, let's read the whole thing. We'll read all the way through verse 20, and then we'll pick up in verse 8 and just look at the shepherd portion here. Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring to you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. So we look at these shepherds, and as we get things started here, we realize really the shepherds were just simply going about their business. Just this idea, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And we may mention it at the end, but we may not mention it. But they probably went back, and the next night, probably it would be said there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. A month later, there were some shepherds out in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night. Day by day by day, doing the same regular, ordinary things that they had always done. And yet, the day after, the month after, not the same as any days that they had had before, sitting in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night because of that message of the gospel and the impact that we see that it had on their lives. Maybe now as I sat around the fire, there was something different. There was something more to talk about than what they had talked about before. Maybe some things they had sat around talking around the fire about before, they never talked about again because of the impact of this message that they have heard. But realize day by day, ordinary people with ordinary lives. We could look at the shepherds and just where they were in the whole system and everything else. But just even to look at that and we think about the gospel message and how it works in the hearts of people and in the lives of people, we understand the same. When the gospel message comes to people, they really are ordinary people. We are people who are lost in sin, in need of a Savior, just going about our day, doing the things that we do. And then one day, maybe over a period of time, just as the Word of God, the truth was revealed to us, our hearts were changed by the Word of God and the Spirit of God working in us, that we would never be the same again. And then after that day, I keep going to work, I keep feeding the kids, I keep doing all the things that I maybe normally would do, yet I'm not the same as what I was when I did those things before. And to realize that even other people that we might have opportunities to share the gospel with and we would take this message to, sometimes there are opportunities for us to talk and share just because we are simply walking through ordinary daily life together. And we've talked about this even a little bit over the period of our time talking about outreach. Just I'm going through life. We all read the same news. We all shovel the same snow. We do the things that need to be done. Maybe there are some people in your neighborhood that have some of the same challenges in their life as you do. Maybe there are just sickness in your family. Maybe you're at the same stage of life with young kids in your house or older kids in your house and all those things. And just to realize ordinary people doing ordinary things, but some are impacted by an extraordinary truth and an extraordinary Savior. And for us, just in thinking about that and say, man, this is a wonderful thing that we have to share just out of the other things that are happening in our lives. So we see those shepherds here at the beginning, just doing their thing. And at the end, they'd go back and they keep doing many of those same things. Their life not radically changed in what might be able to be seen just physically in what they would do, but hearts that would never be the same again because of the truth of the gospel. Then we get to verse 9, where we see the shepherds heard good news. I wrote great news. In mind, there's great joy. Good news of great joy in verse 9. The angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And then they hear the message from the angel, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So as we just look at that and realize the shepherds, they heard the great news of a Savior from the angel. Now when angel first came, they were shaken out of their boots. And I probably shared with you before. Again, I was just telling Sarah this morning, I've heard sermons before about things like this, and people think, oh, angels, how nice. You know, you put an angel on your tree, or, you know, maybe there's lots of them in there and those sorts of things. But the idea that, well, to truly see an angel would be a terrifying thing. Just the light, the splendor, maybe not being able to see well. I don't know what an angel's voice sounds like. But all these things, is they were terribly frightened, and we very well may be too with the revelation. We could even... You want to, and even figuratively, when the light shines, and even the truth of that, well, if we think about our condition and sin, there ought to be dread and fear. And for them, even to realize their weakness and the fact, where did this come from? Whether they realized immediately it's from the Lord, but it's something that they didn't understand, they hadn't seen before, and it was powerful as they observed it. And as they considered it in their hearts. But it said, the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terribly afraid, but they got the message, that good news, that, hey, there is a Savior that has been born for you. It is a Savior. It is Christ the Lord. And He has been born today, proclaiming His birth. They may have had some idea of this, thoughts of it before, the fact the city of David and those things, and maybe getting an understanding of, well, there might be a birth, that they knew and understood some of those prophecies. But it is a message which was fulfilled, a promise which had been fulfilled to them. But now it's a message. They said, this is the good news. The good news is there is a Savior. And even to look at them, you know, to realize their weakness and their helplessness, as they stood before the Lord, as the glory shone around them, well, then they would need to understand that there was a message, a good news, there is a Savior who was born. And we think about that, really, that is our message as well. There is a Savior. Even again, we've talked about this as we thought about outreach. We think about ordinary, everyday lives. I don't know exactly how you stir up maybe some conversations without maybe a lot of argument, but if someone happens to mention, even as we look at all the unrest that's around us, people talk about justice, they talk about injustice, they talk about the things that people do, the things that are wrong, and bring up even the sinfulness of men. And the reality is, well, what's the answer for those things? Well, a lot of people, they want to protest. A lot of people, they want to seek justice. We need to change our leadership. We need to do all of those things. Well, the answer for sin, if we really understand it and are terrified by it the way that we ought to be terrified by it, is that there is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And that's the message, the outreach that we see. There is a Savior. We get to verse 12. And we'll read through verse 4. We'll just read verse 12. This will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And I said, there is a Savior, but the angel also told them, there will be a sign. There will be a sign. There will be some proof. There will be some evidence that this is the case. Maybe even suggesting to them, there is a sign for you, you will find. Well, they didn't decide to go until later. They don't say if you're going to go, but maybe just if you go, this is what you're going to see. And the idea, even as we think about the gospel message, or sharing that and proclaiming it, and there may be people out there that and even for us, you know, in our message and in our sharing of the good news, to realize and to say, you know, this is real. This isn't just something that we imagine. This isn't just a story that somebody made up so we could have a holiday, or we could feel good, or because the, you know, it's just something for the church to do. You know, but this is true, and it's very, very real. You know, think about that even with the sign. Many times in our membership classes, and if you remember, those of you who are members and fill out, how do you know that you are a child of God? Well, first of all, we know it's true. We know because the Bible tells us it's true. There's also a sense there, an understanding. No, I understand this is real. This is important. This is something that I haven't just heard in a Sunday school class or maybe sing throughout the month of December, but this is real. I've seen it in my own heart and my own life. As you look at this and the evidence and the facts, even for them and for us to be able to say, no, this is true. It's a real event. There's lots of religions in the world that have their opinions about who Jesus Christ is. And I think it was, you know, Vodi Bakum that said, just to be even careful, to say, hey, this works for me. There's lots of things that are false and untrue and will lead people straight to hell that works for them while they walk around here on this earth. But this Christ is a Savior. He says, if you'll go, you'll know, it will be proven to you. This is what you will find when you get there. You know, and again, you know, just even with that, if you've interacted at all with Mormons, the last time I spoke with one, the whole thing, just give it a try and God will prove it to you. That's something they would say. In some ways, I don't want to tell people to give it a try and it'll prove it to you. But, you know, if you believe, it will be proven. You will know. And we can know and we can have that assurance in the truth of God. They saw the sign, the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. We know that it is true. It is a real event with historical references. We look at that, even we think about the gospel message, not promising any kind of blessing. But so, you know, it's real. It will change your life and your heart if you truly believe. So verse 13 and 14, and suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. And just to see there, I mean, there's a Savior, there'll be a sign, but God is glorified in providing salvation. God is glorified in providing salvation. And just even, you know, again, that part of the message. This is the plan of God for men to be saved, for men to be delivered from their sins. In a very real question, even that might come up, says, well, I believe in God. Well, you know, what do you believe about the work of Jesus Christ? How do you believe that someone's sins are forgiven? And how do you, you know, what are your answers to those things? He says, well, they don't have the right answer. They don't have a good answer or a true answer to that. Well, we can say, well, Jesus Christ is God's plan of salvation for men. If you're going to glorify God or say, yes, I believe in God or understand who God is, then God is truly glorified and understood when we believe in and we understand who Jesus Christ is. And even to take that and maybe turn some of our conversations. Again, we're not going to have a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. But again, to realize there, even within that statement, tell the shepherds, the angels are bringing them that good news of great joy that says God has a plan for salvation. And that Savior has been born in the city of David. This is good news for great, with great joy. This is bringing peace on earth among men with whom he is pleased. And there's praise, and there's that change. And for us to understand that, I think we do. Salvation is the plan of God, that we might be saved and forgiven of our sins by trusting in and believing in Jesus Christ. And God is glorified in it because the plan is his. It doesn't really matter whether people think it works for them or not. It's the only thing that works, because this is what God has ordained. This is what God has provided. In verse 15, it says, the angels had gone away from them to heaven. The shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And they did that, and what they did was they examined the information. And all of these things that we fill in, just so we think about the gospel, it is great news. It is good news of great joy. It is also they examined the information, the things that were told to them. They believed it, for sure believed it enough. They're going to check it out for themselves. But even then, let's go see if this has happened. But let's go see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Again, there's just a sense of certainty that we know these things are true. Now we're going to go examine it with our own eyes, that information that has been given to us, that good news that has been proclaimed. They could have stayed on the hill and says, man, isn't that great? They wanted to know more. They wanted to see. It was significant to them, maybe more than just being curious and afraid, but to understand this is good. God is glorified. God is praised. God has done a great thing. And we are not going to be satisfied to just know a little bit about that, but we're going to pursue it fully. And again, that message of the gospel, how it impacts and changes a life and a heart, hopefully ours, if we say, I believe the truth about Jesus Christ, and I believe what he has done, I believe that he is my Savior. We're not necessarily examining to see if things are true, but we are examining, we are thinking, we are meditating, we are rejoicing because we know these things are true. And that's what's happening with these shepherds. They go and they examined the information. And as they did, we see in verses 17 through 20, the shepherds repeated this truth. So they had great news. They had information that they examined. And this truth, they repeated it. They made known to others. Maybe we just look at it and say, well, that's the most obvious outreach thing. The truth of the gospel had so impacted their lives that they repeated everything that they had heard. Well, this truth that they heard about Christ being born had changed their life in such a way they repeated everything. For us, when we hear that message of the gospel, we think about it. We consider its power. And God's grace and mercy in our lives, hopefully we will repeat it as well. But in verse 17 says, when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. This is what the angels told us. So they repeated that. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. So first of all, this is what the angels had said. This is what we heard in verse 17. This is what we heard. This is what the angels said. We had to come see for ourselves, that we might confirm, even bear witness that these things are true. We see that in verse 17. And now that they had seen with their very own eyes and understood even more those things. Then in verse 20, it says they went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. They heard it over and repeated it over and over again, that today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And we've seen him with our own eyes, just like the angels told us it would be. That's exactly what we saw when we got there. He came to bring peace, the glory of God, the angels who were speaking, giving praise. The shepherds repeated this. And surely, maybe night after night, just even reflecting on that, like we said before, this night would maybe change their fireside chats, moving on. Their life as a shepherd would be the same. Their life as men would never, ever be. You know, for us, we can think about that even with the shepherds. I don't know what all the time the response will be when we repeat and we talk about the things that we have heard, the things that we have seen, those things which we believe and we know to be true. For them in verse 18 and 19, people pondered. They wondered at these things that were heard, and Mary treasured these things, pondering them in her heart. That's certainly our prayer and desire, as we would talk about just how precious and wonderful the gospel is, that other people would treasure these things in their hearts. They would ponder these things, that they too would believe, and they would glorify and praise God for the things that they have heard and they have seen, even from our mouths as we share with them the truths of God's word and that glorious message, that great news, that good news of great joy that has been made known to us. You know, that may not be the case, and probably not everybody who heard the shepherds glorifying and praising God understood what had been said. They may not have appreciated everything that had been said. Maybe certainly did not believe. Maybe didn't have the same interest to pursue or know anything more about it than what the shepherds had said. But it didn't make any difference to the shepherds. It didn't make any difference to Mary or those other ones who were there that believed and understood. They were going to continue to glorify and praise God for all that they had heard and seen. You know, and just to look at this and consider, like we said, they had the message of Jesus Christ being born to the earth, a Savior who had come. They went and saw and bore witness over themselves, and as those things were even more just revealed and made known to them, you know, the glory of God and the sweetness of that message just would increase all the more when they saw and were more and more convinced of that truth. For us, as we consider the gospel, hopefully just like the shepherds, you know, we have heard the gospel and believed that it is true. But even just day by day by day, as we consider and meditate on the gospel, as we read and we study and meditate on and think about God's word, just say, wow. How is it that God has done all these things? When we think about the songs, we always sing of the mercies of the Lord forever and joke a little bit about how sweet and awful is the place. But when we think about the gospel message, you know, those things ought to be filling our minds. This is a sweet place where Jesus is, me being his child. This is an awful place. I'm filled with awe and wonder when I consider what it is that God has done. And day by day by day, it might become even more sweet. It might produce more wonder in our minds when we consider how wonderful that is. And as that happens, hopefully in our hearts, just like the shepherds, say, man, I got to figure out how to tell people about this. Or, I don't know why I started talking about that. It's just all I can seem to think about. Just, we are so wrapped up in the truth of the gospel and the importance and the wonder of that message that we can see it in our lives and therefore proclaim that God is glorious as we go through our days, and maybe other people would just tell us, I don't know what to think about this. I don't know what to think about that. I don't know what to do about this. I don't know what to do about that. Well, I have an answer. And it's a wonderful thing, and I know it is true, and I'd love to share it with you. And just share those things, just as we have heard and seen. Just as we have been told and we understand, we seek to make those things known to others. So, just considering the shepherds and what they did, just their, I guess you'd call it an outreach ministry, which is very little more than just going about their daily lives, saying, I've heard this truth, and I'm filled with wonder. Now I'm going to glorify and praise God. And they made Christ known wherever they could. And maybe it was just amongst themselves at times as they reflected on those things. But another shepherd enters the circle that wasn't there that night. But we got to tell you about what happened on that night. But we will we'll sing. Then we will have Rob Brown, if you just